We're just normal men.
What do you mean, normal men?
We're just innocent men.
Welcome to the Red Ass Podcast, your home for Aggie sports, barbecue, music, and much more. And now your hosts, Rob White and Roy May.
Howdy, guys. Welcome back to the Red Ass Podcast. Today is Tuesday, October 22nd. It is blackout week at Kyle Field. It's going to be a good time. I'm excited. I'm Rob White, fighting Texas Aggie class of 2014.
And I am Roy May, fighting Texas Aggie class 2015. And if you're not watching this and you're just listening to it, Rob went ahead and blacked out the podcast.
A little bit, right? I mean, this is one of the hats. I don't know. I got it online several years ago, modified it with my little 203 patch, but I like the maroon bill. Had a little fun to it, but yeah, got a few black A&M things. That was something that was prepared in advance and good to know we can use it.
I did not prepare because I spent the last 2 days in a Zoom class, literally from 8:30 to 5, 2 days in a row. I'm fairly certain I have clear fluid coming out of my ears, and Zoom classes are my hell. Like, literally, I would almost rather go sit in a classroom. All right. So, but anyways, it's finally over. I'm done with it. So, well, done with that one. It's my industry. Everything's on Zoom and a million classes to take.
Nothing ends. It just keeps moving. Everything keeps moving all the time.
Absolutely.
Yes, sir. Well,
so go on the road, right? Play state.
Yes.
It's weird because I think coming into this season, and I know that like I had a real big number for the season prediction, you know, whatever. But I'm Mr. Sunshine Pumper and Optimism guy. But you know, we drop Notre Dame and then we have it lost, right? So going out and playing the football you have to play, right? Just getting wins, whether they're pretty or otherwise. You know, the Missouri being the top notch. I think last week and maybe Arkansas being real kind of slobber knockers. You know, I think those are both games. Arkansas, that one at Jerry's World, whatever. You know, that's always a weird game. But I think it's weird. You know, with success comes raised expectations. It's as a fan, it's almost impossible not to start raising your expectations as we continue to win.
Right.
And so good win. You went on the road in the SEC and you did what you were supposed to do. Shocked we didn't cover the spread. I'm not mad about it by any means. I didn't put my own bet on the Aggies. I'm not crazy, but just kind of, it's kind of a meh game. You know, it was, but again, we saw Mississippi State play Texas. We've seen them play. Mississippi State has been getting better week after week. Not that, you know, they started at such a low point. I don't know what their high mark is going to be, but, kind of some sloppy play, but also some really encouraging stuff. So I kind of want to, what your thoughts on the game?
So my thoughts are pretty much boiled down to this. When you look at a game like what we saw this past week, in particular with our performance out of a bye week, which historically, since we've been in the SEC, bye weeks have not been very kind. We'll have a bye week, and then we turn around and lose that game. And on top of that, you're going on the road to Mississippi State. And then it seemed like anytime we would get some kind of good play or something, all of a sudden, here come the flags. And we were getting backed up on drives. Connor wasn't playing perfect by any means at all. I mean, you have two picks, one touchdown catch. Frankly, looked a little flustered even in the pocket. He was passing better when he was on the run. But even with all of those factors playing against you and all of these other things going wrong in the game, you still won it by 10. So, I mean, that for me is what was the big takeaway. This is not a team that folded like a box of cards, you know, especially in Starkville like we have in previous seasons. And I understand State's not a good football team. Everybody knows. But they have been improving, and they're starting quarterback Van Buren. You know, he had himself a pretty decent day. And even with all those stats, you still win by 10.
Death, taxes, and Mississippi State quarterbacks against Texas A&M.
Yeah.
He was surprised. I didn't know that he was that good, maybe is a way to put it. Or he just played, you know, way above his level. But I think he's shown that he's kind of gelling into the offense, maybe. You know, it's just like anybody else, you know, with more reps, generally get a little bit better. I will say I was fascinated by how well Scooby played. I thought Scooby had a fantastic game. I thought the defense was, they're fun to watch. The defensive line, they're so fun to watch.
They're those dudes.
And so I think that's where you have a lot of excitement coming into this weekend. I'm not going to dwell a ton on the Mississippi State game. It's a double-digit win on the road in the SEC. And like you said, despite kind of stepping on your own toes a little bit. But heading into a massive game, right? So LSU is ranked, what, eighth or ninth, depending on where you're looking, something like that. Sure. It's a home game. It's a night game. It's a conference game with the two teams, most surprisingly, if you'd have said this before the season started, everybody would have just looked at you like you're absolutely crazy. But two teams are legitimate contenders for the SEC title.
Yeah, I mean, with A&M and LSU, I mean, you talk about two teams that right from the outset, first weekend, you both lose. Yeah, you know, you lose. A&M loses to what has proven to be a pretty good Notre Dame team, and you have LSU losing to what has become a bad USC team. Even with all of that being said, though, LSU has continually progressed as throughout their performances. We saw it last week with their Arkansas game.
I thought that was a wildly impressive win. Hell, we both picked Arkansas.
We did.
Because you know, Arkansas was looking like a team also kind of on the rise. So that was probably one of the bigger results that I saw that went kind of against what I thought was going to happen. Mm-hmm. Because I don't think Arkansas is the kind of team that, I mean, you're in Fayetteville and you just kind of get your doors blown off a little bit.
It was not a close game whatsoever. And I mean, LSU was in full control of that ball game.
Yeah, the whole game. And I get that they were favorites on the road, but they weren't, you know, they were 3-point favorites. You know, nobody was saying LSU was going to walk into Fayetteville and put Arkansas on blast, but that's what they did. Yeah. You know, Nussmeier's, you know, running the offense well. I still think their defense is suspect. I just don't think Arkansas had an offense that could exploit it.
Sure.
So I think that for me, the keys to the game this week are limiting the mistakes, because LSU has talent on defense, right? I mean, there's talent over there. That's an SEC football team, right? Mm-hmm. And it's LSU who recruits incredibly well year after they stack talent, right?
Right.
And so, you know, they have talent on the defensive side, but one thing you don't want to give them is momentum, because I think their defense could be good if they start playing with their hair on fire, you know, with a cup, maybe a turnover here or just kind of some big plays. So this is one where, again, you want to jump on them early, but you want to jump on everybody early. That's such a blah statement. But,
fact of life. I mean, case in point, look what happened with South Carolina and Oklahoma. I mean,
that was ridiculous. I mean,
you have three touchdowns to your name 6 minutes into the game.
Yeah, I feel
on
like
the road.
OU's already called the Big 12 and been like, so you thinking about maybe can I take you out for drinks and we can just talk about getting back together?
Right. You know, it's funny you say that. But yeah, I mean, in those games, it's so vastly important to really get off to a good start or really set your own tone. Right. You don't want the other team dictating the flow of the game. And, you know, obviously, whenever you're, you know, in a position like we tend to play, which is wanting to have the ball in the second half, you know, you allow the other team to maybe come out and do their job. But if your defense can set the tone, then that will get things really going in a good direction for your ball club, hopefully.
Well, and Brian Kelly touched on his press conference earlier this week. Goodness gracious. Just talking about what, you know, the kind of atmosphere that Kyle Field is, and he gets it. And you know, this is going to be blowing the top, you know, off the roof kind of thing. And it's the same way if you're playing in Death Valley. If you can get, you know, a good stop early and you can answer with points, you know, and just really energize the crowd, everybody knows that it's so easy to play off a crowd that big. I mean, it's crazy, right?
Yeah.
You know, so my biggest thing is early. Doesn't have to be often necessarily, because I feel like our defense, and I get that LSU offense is playing better, but I like our defense right now just about any offense I can see out there. Just the way they're playing, the defensive line, the secondary, they have this is a Mike Elko defense. That's all there is to it. He's, you
Right.
know, he's got his hands all over this. So I really like the matchup. If you look at all the models and everything, A&M, you know, FPI, kind of that stuff, a little bit over 50% chance to win.
Yeah.
But we don't ever cover spreads. Like in our last 10, we're 2-8. And the spread is 2.5. So like, get ready for another nail biter kind of thing.
Probably.
But I like Connor to rebound a little bit back at home. Mm-hmm. In front of the 12th man, yep. That's going to be wildly fired up in a blackout, which we'll talk about that later in the program.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. So this is such a pivotal moment for Mike Elko's first season. And again, this isn't a program breaker game, but it can be a program maker game.
Right. That was a discussion that was had. I mean, even on Paul Feinbaum today with Billy Lucci, one of the things he said was like, this is probably the biggest game in A&M's history since we've been in the SEC. And I would argue it's easily the biggest home game we've had since Tennessee in 2016 for me, because you had two teams that were both 5-0 coming into that game. Game day was in town. It was a whole big shebang. A&M wins that game. And all of a sudden, halfway through the season, we're sitting at 6-0. Well, right now we're sitting at 6-1, top of the SEC standings with LSU. This game is so critical in pole position, especially considering we've already played an extra game. So, you know, if A&M goes to 5-0 in SEC play with this week, I mean, we're in the full driver's seat is for the rest of the season.
It's the 5-0. You go on the road to South Carolina, which I don't care what they did against Oklahoma. Oklahoma's not a very good football team.
They're not.
Yeah, but we talked about that being a trap game, obviously coming off a huge weekend like this could, you know, this could potentially be. Then you got a cupcake, and then you got another bye week, right? So then you can kind of finish off your season. And so I don't know that this – well, maybe the most important one. I don't know. Part of me thinks that more important than this was when Alabama came to A&M the year after.
Sure.
You know, after we beat them in Tuscaloosa. I think maybe 13. that was probably more important, and I think it still was, because had we beaten Alabama 2 years in a row, you know, the sky's the limit.
Right. And I mean, if we look at where we're at currently, right? I mean, A&M, where we do stand, winning this game in terms of the national attention will start coming our way.
It'll explode. Now, it won't just come our way. I think it'll explode, because now all of a sudden, you know, you are a good arm's distance from other people in the SEC,
right?
Because you're undefeated in conference. And I get that the conference has had some really weird outcomes, right? There's
no question.
You know, Vandy beating Bama. Obviously that one's the first one that comes to mind, but Ole Miss,
Arkansas biting Tennessee, Ole Miss obviously losing to Kentucky. I mean, there have been a lot of those type of games that have knocked people maybe off of the perch of the national eyes. Meanwhile, A&M, you know, we go and we beat Missouri, you know, a few weeks ago, and it turned, everybody was like, what did they do? Oh, that was number 9.
Stomped.
And they stomped them. Okay, cool. Then by a week, you go on the road and you beat Mississippi State. No, you don't do it pretty. Nobody was really looking at that game like, oh my gosh, A&M's world beaters. But you continue to win. And if you win this one, people are going to be like, will they stop winning? They just keep winning.
Well, and there was enough narrative out there where this is the kind of game that A&M drops. And their history in Starkville.
Correct.
Yeah, their history against Mississippi State. So all that narrative just kind of, it did build. It wasn't huge. There were so many great games last week that we weren't anywhere on the radar. And that's fine with me.
Yeah, we didn't need to be.
Number 14, 15 team of the nation going on the road to in Starkville. Like, nobody cares.
Right.
It only would have mattered if we'd have lost. Right. That would have been a narrative. But so now you have this great opportunity against another top 10 team, right?
Yeah. Big top 10 team and a rival.
And we talked about it. Like, Missouri's not a top 10 team, all right? But they were when they showed up, and that's all I care about.
Exactly.
That's between the pollsters and themselves. Yeah, that's their fault for ranking them there. Now, LSU's there. I think LSU might be a little bit overrated like Missouri. Now, I'm not saying we're going to go have a Missouri outcome, but I think LSU may not quite be where they are, but it's easy for pollsters to rank LSU highly.
Right. And I mean, especially with how they were preseason ranked, right? I mean, that is so vastly important in the eyes of the pollsters, right? You know, they look at, okay, we want to vindicate our preseason deal and say, hey, we said LSU was a top 10 team. We want to reinforce that they are indeed a top 10 team. That is something that does pass through the mind of the polls. Fortunately, that's something that we're going to miss out on, hopefully when the playoffs start coming around, as far as those
Yeah, well,
projections. But
that's another narrative that you can destroy this weekend.
yeah.
Go in, you're at home, man. It is going to be nutso at Kyle, right?
No question.
It's just, what an opportunity,
Yeah, it's going to be an
So.
incredibly fun game day. I love the fact that game day is not actually going to be there. It's just going to be us going out there and doing what we do at SEC Saturday. And
It's just it's just work, man. Just go to work.
go to work.
All right, so we got a lot of questions, so we're gonna kind of rip through these picks. I'll go through last week real quick.
Yeah, let's do.
And I texted you because I didn't know it when we picked it. We both picked now we both actually both picked Notre Dame because I remember I had talked about picking Georgia Tech, and then I found out Haynes King was out, and I was like, man. Then I looked back at the sheet and realized we both picked Notre Dame, 8.5 point favorites on the road, no Haynes King. Had we known that, I probably wouldn't even have picked that game. But then so Michigan, Illinois, yet again, that super impressive win by Texas looks worse and worse by the week.
Can we talk about the fact that Texas's best win in the country, unironically, is ULM?
ULM. No, 100% it's ULM. Yeah, so
Yeah.
far. Yeah, so we both got that one right. LSU, Arkansas, like we talked about earlier. We both picked the Hogs to do it. Boy, they did not at all.
No, sir.
Both picked UGA to beat the Sips because obviously it's Texas. We don't have a choice.
And it happened,
And
so.
then the Aggs won. If we picked it against the spread, we both would have lost, but we didn't. And the Aggs won. So we both went 4-1. We're both at 23-17 on the season. For as good as the slate of games were last weekend, the slate of games this weekend suck. Like, I had a hard time picking games for us to pick.
Okay.
So we're going to rip through these.
Oh, you're not even kidding.
Yeah, dude, they're so bad. So Notre Dame is at Navy. I've got a 13-point favorite, Notre Dame, but Army and Navy being the darlings, right, of college football a little bit right now, after Vandy, but like you can't just open, like you can't on a podcast or in public, or you can't like just sit there and just absolutely rip on the service academies, right?
No,
So
you can't.
everybody's rooting for Army and Navy.
Yeah.
I cannot see a world where Navy pulls this off, but I thought it might be fun to pick because you just never know. You never know because when you're talking about triple option teams, it's just different. Now, the problem with service academies is the triple option will get teams for a while, but talent ultimately will win out against this because there is just a size issue and a speed and strength issue. So we're gonna pick this, even though I think I know how we're both gonna pick. I have no problem picking Navy when they're not this, Navy isn't like the Sips to me by any means.
Sure.
And especially when they're playing Notre Dame, I would love to pick Navy here. Are you taking Notre Dame?
I have to. I mean,
Yeah.
there's really nothing, there's nothing.
I thought about maybe picking this on the spread.
In that case, if we did pick the spread, I might have picked Navy because I really do think that they have a chance to cover that. I mean, 12 and a half, especially if you're in a situation where, triple option is on the table. Yeah, that's potentially could keep this to be a much closer game than you think. But I think Notre Dame just does have the talent gap.
I think they just got the dudes. I would love for Navy to upset Notre Dame, but at the same time, yeah, it's Texas A&M. Like, we need Notre Dame to keep winning.
It's true, and they have done so.
Yeah, we both got the Irish in this one. Next up, Penn State is traveling to Wisconsin. Penn State 6.5 point favorite, so almost a touchdown on the road. This is big. Penn State coming off of a bye week. Wisconsin has started to look competent, but again, you think about the Alabama loss and you're like, where are they going to fit in on this? Again, like I said, the games out there in the top 25 suck this week. So,
They do. And honestly, looking at this particular matchup, I mean, yes, Wisconsin has certainly looked better. There's no question about it. And yes, Penn State, you get into a dogfight there at the end with USC, ends up going to overtime. You pull out the win on the road, hit that bye week, now you're on the road again. And that could play a factor.
So you know what? I'm gonna take Wisconsin, man. Jump around fourth quarter. Up there in Madison, this kind of this is one of those that has upset written all over, right? Coming off the bye week, having to go on the road. This is very similar to us in Mississippi State. But I don't think there's the disparity between Wisconsin and Penn State like there is between A&M and Mississippi State. I'm gonna take a flyer here. I'm actually gonna take Wisconsin to pull this off because this just has all the feelings of one of those Big Ten upsets.
Well, yeah, and Penn State, historically, they have tended to fall, to a team that they should not fall, whether it be Iowa, whether it be whoever, maybe Purdue.
I don't know if Wisconsin would be in there though, because Wisconsin's not a bad team.
No, they're
A 6.5
not.
point favorite isn't a massive line.
No, and I'm not even insinuating on that. I just think that, Penn State does have a bad track record for dropping games that they probably shouldn't on the road at key times. And this is a very important game for them to keep on rolling. So, I don't know,
But
but
that said, they've had 2 weeks to know that this is a very important game to keep on rolling.
it is true. But I am, I suppose, yeah. We'll roll with Penn State. We'll just go ahead
Okay.
and go Nittany Lions, give them a shot. I mean, they
Yeah,
should take
they've
care of
looked
business,
good.
but
They've
yeah,
looked good.
they have.
All
We'll
right.
see.
Next one. Washington is on the road at Indiana. The undefeated Indiana Hoosiers, they get College Game Day.
Yeah.
Indiana's 7-point favorites. Indiana's got a backup quarterback who didn't play bad in the second half, but they got a backup quarterback, and I feel like this line doesn't reflect that. And Washington has been playing better football. If Washington could get out of their own way with special teams,
Yeah.
Washington would be a pretty damn good football team. But their special teams are horrific, like horrific. But Washington's got a balanced team. Indiana obviously is undefeated, and you saw a backup quarterback come in and kind of grow into the offense and game. But Indiana has been very explosive offensively. Can this backup quarterback, I mean, can he do that? Can he maintain that? Because I think you need an explosive offense in this game. This is Indiana doesn't get College Game Day when the ball's not round and going through a net, all right? And
Right.
so this is a big game. If it's not huge for Indiana because they're kind of the they're another one of the darlings, right? They're undefeated for probably the first time since Army and Navy been ranked kind of thing. Washington coming to town, a good Washington team that if they can limit their mistakes could be a lot better than they are. I'm not sure that Washington's record really tells us who they are as a team. So
Yeah.
this might be the most entertaining, like outside of ours, I think ours is going to be a great game. This might be the most entertaining top 25 matchup probably, even though it's, the line's kind of big, but that line came out before they knew who started at quarterback. So this is a tough one to pick for me, because I think Washington's a better football team than their record. I think Indiana's really, really good, but has a backup quarterback who played really well, but he's a back. Like it's just there's so many things going into this matchup. And obviously we're not picking the spread, so this is a win straight up kind of thing. I'm gonna go with the College Game Day curse. I'm gonna take Washington to go into Indiana and win this.
So I'm going Indiana, and I think part of that, honestly, for me, is going to be the travel issue for Washington, because you're coming in and it's an 11 o'clock start on the East Coast, which is
Kind of
very,
east. It's not east
well,
coast.
it's, I mean, Bloomington, Indiana. And that's a tough deal, man. I have a hard time seeing Washington pulling it together for that, especially for an 11 o'clock start. I know Indiana, yes, they're going to be lacking with the starting quarterback, but even so, I think with what they have going on, and there's going to be good energy in the building. Heck, it probably be a sellout. I'm thinking Indiana.
I just think Indiana's out over their skis a little bit.
They might be.
I think, or excuse me, they're out kicking their coverage a little bit, quite
They
frankly.
might be.
Being undefeated, and Washington is no scrub. So
They're not.
this is just one of those games. And then on top of that, having game day there, like,
Yeah.
yeah. So that's where I'm going with this. All right,
Fair enough.
fourth game. We probably should bet the spread here, but we're not going to.
Yeah, I know which one you're
The
getting at.
Sips are going on the road to ranked Vanderbilt. And the Sips are 18.5 point favorites after
For
getting steamrolled by, I get it, Georgia. I get it. Now there's a QB controversy brewing in Austin, and historically, they are a soft program when it comes to facing adversity and trying to get past it. Vandy's the darling. Pavia is fun as hell to watch. Now, we can pick the Sips on this show, all right? They're 18 and a half point favorites. We're not picking the spread. If we were picking the spread, this would be a little bit, you know, a little more interesting. This might be a game I lay a little cheese on. But you know, does Vandy Cinderella, like, do they turn back into pumpkins in this game, you know? Because it, no offense to Vandy, they're not built to sustain this, right?
You wouldn't think so, no.
Now they just and I love Vandy, and I love how much fun it, like, Vandy beating Bama will be one of the top storylines of the entire season, no matter what happens. Like, it's just unbelievable. So I'm going Vandy.
Exactly. I'm with you. And frankly, I would have picked Vandy on the spread easy, but yeah, I mean, why not?
I think on the spread, this one, I think there should be a lot of money pouring in on Vandy on the spread. That is a big spread against a team at home
Yeah.
that beat Alabama, beat who they beat? Other
Kentucky.
SEC, Kentucky. Yeah, they just tuned up Ball State like an SEC team's supposed to do, even though Vanderbilt isn't normally the SEC team that tunes up the Ball States of the world.
Yeah.
I like Vandy here.
Well, I like Vandy if for no other reason. Is because this is such a momentum game, right? You have Texas, who has been completely deflated in a lot of ways, because you went from an absolute peak this last week. All the celebrities in town, all of the big,
F1 and blah,
right?
blah, blah, blah,
All
blah.
this crazy stuff going on in Austin. It was going to be this massive, massive deal. And I would like to get into this in a minute, but all of a sudden, you have this incredible drop. You have this incredible drop in terms of, like, oh, everything got
Oh,
deflated.
it's like the, this actually might be a really good analogy accidentally. It's like the ride at the fair where it starts spinning. It spins so fast it pins you against the wall
Yes.
and the floor drops out. But the problem is the floor dropped out and then there was like a malfunction. And so it slowed down and everybody just fell out. Like everybody just fell out the bottom. You know, and so this is going to be interesting to see how his team responds to that loss against Georgia, which was not as close as the score would dictate, quite frankly.
It really wasn't. I mean, you're up
That was an
20.
ass whooping.
I mean, 23 nothing at the half, and that was with Beck not playing a great game. I mean, he threw three picks, and you,
Yeah.
yeah. I mean, you still lose by 15 points, and
How do you lose by two scores at home when the quarterback gives you three gifts? That's how bad Texas played. That's how bad Texas played. So oh, trust me. You know, they're always
worst.
like, what were the biggest games? You know, what's the biggest, you know, watching numbers and everything like that? I'm proud to say that I was one of the people in the ratings numbers watching that game, and I
Yeah.
was rewarded for it, and it was glorious.
So that, I mean, worst loss by number one team since Pitt in '82 with Dan freaking Marino. You know, like,
Ah, damn.
that's a crazy stat. I mean, there were so many fun stats about this particular game, and I would love to go into digging on that here in a minute. But with our questions, we should be able to talk about it. So we'll get into that.
Yeah, so and we'll finish up our picks right quick. So last one,
Yes.
obviously we're gonna pick the Aggs. LSU coming into Kyle Field. Aggs are 2.5 point favorites. FPI has them a little bit like 52 or 53% win percentage.
Yeah.
FPI is not a bad metric to look at, but it's not the end all be all by any means.
Right.
I love where A&M's at. I love that they were able to come in off of a bye week, go to Mississippi State and win a game that they absolutely had to have.
Right.
You had to have that game. Because Mississippi State is one of those where if you're thinking about any sort of success, that has to be a game that you're winning. We talked about this last week on the fan show too. Hunter Shurtleff talked about this. You know, if we want to be as a program where we want to be, we have to consistently beat the Mississippis,
Yeah,
right? That's how it is in the SEC, right?
it
Because they're
is.
always kind of middle of the pack. And I know State's having a bad year, and that's a tough hire and a tough situation there, you know, just with Levy and then but Lane Kiffin, despite the talent he's assembled, still immature, you know, still dropping games he shouldn't. So they're generally middle of the pack. Every once in a while, Ole Miss will flare. We saw Mississippi State flare when they had Dak, right? I get that. As bad as Dak is in the NFL, he's an amazing college quarterback. And Dak's not bad. He just pisses me off.
I get it. I get it.
But There's a mindset to winning that game in Starkville coming off a bye week. There's a mindset to winning the game in Starkville when you know that this has always been a trap game, even if it didn't feel like a trap game. Like, it's just it's a bear claw, like scratch, throw rock, kind of rock fight, just kind of crap game that we always get hung up on. So, and that goes back to, it was a good win. I would have loved to see us win by more, but a double digit win on the SEC against a team that's been one of our bugaboos.
Yeah.
So I love this game being at night. I love it being against LSU. I love the 12th man being fired up. I love the 12th man having a reason to stay fired up because they went to Starkville and won. You know, we're not coming off a bye and playing LSU. We're coming off continued success. We're undefeated in the SEC, and College Game Day isn't here. I got the eggs.
Well, and I have the eggs too. And a lot of it's just going to come down to, I like what we saw off coming off of last week. Tough game, to be certain, but you still win. You still win in double digits. Yeah, and now you have and you have yourself an LSU team. As far as the matchup is concerned, you know, we've got A&M, who has, in my opinion, a better defense. Maybe LSU has a slightly better offense, and it's going to come down to a lot of mistake. It's a very balanced game, is what I'm saying. It's like maybe slightly better in key categories. The big thing for me is going to be, how does Connor build back from last week? Does he replicate a similar performance to what we see with Missouri in turnovers? Can we force a number of turnovers in this game and create a little bit of chaos? If we can do that and the crowd's hype and everything else is going with all the X outside factors, Texas A&M.
Yeah, and this is my thought. I think we have the advantage, our defense against their offense, and I think we have the advantage, our offense against their defense. And special teams have been solid,
yeah,
right? Special teams just don't make mistakes. That's all you're asking of special teams, is don't give the ball away, right?
Right. Just do your job.
That's why I like the Aggs. I'm not saying we're going to win going away, but I like the Aggs in this game. Obviously, I'm an Aggie, former Yell Leader. I have to pick the Aggs pretty much. But I do. I love the Aggs in this one.
So we'll take A&M. I'm liking what we're seeing. Hopefully just go out there.
There's going to be some movement in the picks here, because we picked two different. So
yes, we did. And that's okay. That's the whole point. We got to shake it up a little bit.
Well, in theory.
In theory. All
right. So you want to go ahead and get into some questions real quick?
Absolutely. Let's jump in.
I'm going to start with mine, because I guarantee you mine came in first, because it was on Sunday.
Go for it.
And this is from our buddy Trent Kirkpatrick. Thank you for listening, Trent. He said, what sort of recourse does the NCAA/SEC have for poor officiating? And after last night, talking about the SIP Georgia game,
yeah,
do we expect there to be any sort of review, or is that just wishful Aggie thinking? So what's interesting to me is, because this is now 2 weeks in a row, we've talked about something weird with this. Because remember, we had the Kirby Smart shoving the player incident as well.
Sure.
And man, if that didn't get a ton more play on Texas Twitter all week, complaining about getting fined.
Yeah. I mean, see, that's the tough deal with the officials, is that we don't really hold them to really any kind of crazy standard. I mean, obviously we as fans expect them to do their job, but the SEC has shown consistently that they don't necessarily care. And it's a question as to why. It's like, why on earth are we allowing these officials to make certain calls, man, or miss calls? And there's like no, like the idea of a press conference for officials is fascinating to me, and I would love to see something with that. But
we talk about this all year long in every sport. Being the best conference, you would expect the best officiating. But the reality is you look across the board, and officiating just isn't that good. It's not. And it's not just the SEC. You can watch the ACC. You can watch the Big Ten. Officiating is not that good. And this is my thought on this, and then we'll answer this question, because, of course, sure, we always go down rabbit trails. Hop, 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 hop. One, obviously, there's no accountability, right? We get that. The press conference, I would love press conferences for officials, but that will literally never happen. Sure. I think there's a possibility, and I say this as a dude that's 45 years old, and I've been watching sports since as long as I can remember, and all sports. I watched basketball, baseball, football. I watched the big three in America. I watched at a college level and a pro level. There has been, over the last 10 to maybe 15 years, what seems to be this amazing acceleration of talent, speed, and strength from athletes in all sports.
All sports.
And especially in base, not calling balls and strikes behind the plate, that hasn't changed, and that pisses me off. But you know, in these bang bang plays, when the action is going, the officials, I don't think, have mentally caught up to the speed and physicality of the game. And then you just tack on all the weird extra rules we've added, and then you add in, you know, the whole targeting issue, which is in and of itself a literal like five series podcast. Or five Easily. Episode series podcast talking about trying to figure out exactly what targeting is and how we should penalize it, because I still don't think we're right on that part of it either. And so I don't think the officials have kept up with the sports. And that's why I think we're seeing, and again, maybe we're just getting older, so we'd like to complain more. But that's my thought. What do you think about that?
Man, it is a tough thing to think about with the officiating. I mean, yeah, I mean, it's coming. It's becoming quite apparent that they have not really adjusted to how, you know, the behaviors of the players, or really a lot of what takes place, you know, in the field, across so many different fashions. And then you turn around and you make certain calls that just do not make a lot of sense. You see these incredible reactions coming from fans. And, you know, in general, yeah, I understand. Yeah, you know, pass interference, we're not going to be happy with it. We look at the replay, yeah, he pulled him. Okay. Like, we get frustrated in those situations. You look at the A&M game this past week with what happened with Mississippi State. And, I mean, you know, Le'Veon Moss breaks off a phenomenal run, comes back for a hold. You look at the replay, where was the hold? Oh, hey, there's a targeting penalty. Okay, yeah, the guy sits here, and defender's coming in low because he's like, I'm not going to try to hit him in the head. And then all of a sudden the receiver does a natural lizard brain reaction of, oh, crap, and he ducks. And all of a sudden there's helmet contact, and that's an ejectable offense.
Well, and then you add in the fact that they don't ever call targeting on the offense, when in fact targeting is it's not just hitting a defensive player. It has to do with player. If it had to do with player safety, they'd call it both ways. But the problem yes. is what's the phrase? If you ever played football in your life, when you're running and you're running hard, what do you want me to do? Lower your head, stick your head in there. And so that's what we've kind of run into, but we'll stop going down this rabbit hole. But do I expect any review, or is that wishful Aggie thinking? It's probably wishful Aggie thinking, but it's not just Aggies. Again, I think the review brings in a level of accountability that they're not prepared for.
Yes.
And so there's not going to be a review. Obviously, we've seen since then, Texas was levied a $250,000 fine, you know, kind of doing the same thing as, what was it, Georgia or Tennessee, where they're like, identify everybody that threw stuff on the field, we'll have them ejected. And that's a very Premier League-esque kind of thing, by the way.
Like it is.
Locating fan misbehavior and banning them from the yard.
Yeah.
So I don't expect to see it, but that's because going in line with everything we've ever seen about SEC and their officials, they don't hold them accountable. So unfortunately, here we are.
Now, see, this leads into my second question here, which is, how far can y'all throw a water bottle asking for no particular reason? I mean, I could chuck it. It all depends on, do I have water in it or not? Because if it's less water, obviously it's not going to go as far. But I mean, I could chuck a full water bottle pretty good distance.
Yeah, if it's lopsided, there's a difficulty. Again, this is physics, and I'm happy to get into it offline. Because we are by no means the physics channel for Texas A&M. That would be that professor. Nope. She's awesome. That's literally gone internationally viral because the way she teaches physics is how you should teach physics.
It's a way to do it, yeah.
Yeah. So I'll just say this. So way back before I had, you know, back when my shoulders worked and I wasn't overweight and all this other good stuff, I was able to throw a football almost 80 yards. So if you give that thing to me, and I've had a couple of drinks in me, right? So I'm not worried about my shoulder being sore for 3 days. I would probably wing that sucker pretty well. I would have been one of the water bottles closest to midfield. I'll put it not like at midfield, but I would have been
You'd have been in the right spot for that.
I'd have been threatening some contact.
And that like I said, that does kind of roll in for me, because it was just like the whole situation that we ended up seeing in regards to the water bottles, like for the love of God. And it's already, it has been discussed ad nauseum about the whole idea of, well, this sets a dangerous precedent, and this does that. And I think the biggest thing for me is if you're gonna make a call and then place the ball, then run clock. You don't get to turn around and make a statement later on that night that we had a discussion and came to a conclusion. Yeah, only after you've already made your call and made the spot. Like, yeah, do not get me wrong. Was that pass interference call terrible? 100%. Nobody's going to sit here and say otherwise. However, since you made that call, you stick to your freaking guns
And
because,
that made it so much worse.
yes,
It just everything about that situation was terrible, quite frankly. And
everything.
the reversal made it even worse.
And just honestly, the crazy part for me was seeing the amount of approval that you were seeing from that fan base with the decision to throw the water bottles on the field. Yeah, you saw plenty of Texas fans. They were like, "Ah, we don't do that. That's not okay." But there were plenty of big names that were very,
Yeah.
very supportive of this. And I'm like,
Well,
that's not how you should affect the game.
I mean, there is a safety issue involved. Like
Yes.
you throw a full, what is that? The little 1 liter that were not little, the 1 liter bottles. You throw a full bottle at somebody from 12 rows up, and it's an official who just has a baseball hat on, or it's a photographer, or
Yeah.
somebody, part of field staff, and they get hit. That's no joke, man.
Well,
So
and
it was classless. It was immature. It was dangerous. I have no problem with them getting the fine. I have no problem with them locating the people that can and banning them. I have no problem with any of that. But again, like I said, that's a little Premier League esque as well, and I don't have a problem with that either. Premier League, they when they find when they figure out somebody throwing racial slurs at players or
right.
throwing things on the pitch, up to but including literally a lighter. Like if you throw a lighter on the pitch at a Premier League match, if their cameras work, and they're in the right spot, you will be banned from the grounds.
Yep. And see, that goes back to like the whole thing. When I first went to a Texas Tech game in 2011, that was A&M's last game playing against Tech in the Big 12. There was a guy next to me in the A&M section that got hit in the head with a full liter water bottle, concussed, the whole shebang. Like it would have hit me had he not been standing there from the
Yeah.
Texas Tech student section. Like, yeah, they throw tortillas and all that, and those.
Tortillas are one thing, batteries and bottles are another.
Exactly. So that is the big issue here. It's like you can't sit here and talk about being a super classy team and talk about all the great things only for your student section to turn around and act like an absolute child because they didn't get the right call,
Yeah.
Like, Aggies, what do we do? We're gonna, if it's a if it was that bad, you would have heard a lot of boos. You probably would have wore
Done.
you I'd say you probably would have heard a ribbity ribbity riff raff, do the horse
You
laugh
got in
thing.
the horse's laugh, but everybody would have outbooed the horse's laugh
Well,
because it's okay to boo as an Aggie. Look,
I
I get
agree.
it. I
Right.
actually love the horse's laugh if everybody's paying attention, but I have no problem with booing if the situation warrants it. But
And what would
look,
happen
there are
is,
very, very few situations in which I'll warrant that as an Aggie.
but yeah, let's say this exact same situation happened to us. What would have happened is you would have seen probably several plays in a row where the Aggies would have continued booing. Like they wouldn't have stopped. Yeah, we would have gotten loud on the defensive plays, but we would have still been booing because at the end of the day, for us, like that was such a critical play in that at that point, and pretty much gave Texas 7 points by giving them the ball back. And that just goes back to the whole deal we were talking about before. Was that as close of a game? I mean,
Well, here
they
you go.
get,
Here's the direct correlation, man. When Trent Hunter got called for a phantom targeting on the side in the last time we played Texas,
that was a loud boo at Kyle Field. It was.
and it was extended through multiple plays.
It was because it was
And it,
so late and it was a critical penalty.
yeah, it
It was,
literally changed the game.
it did.
And how much did we throw on the field?
Not a thing, just a
Yeah, just
lot of
checking.
booze. A
Yeah, just checking.
lot of booze.
Sure.
This is in regards to uniforms. So Ryan Perez, buddy of ours,
Ah.
thoughts on the concept of a blackout game this weekend, plus the expected amount of people actually wearing black. What's y'all's experience? And then also, what was all y'all's experience having visited Davis Wade in the past, which we've touched on last week?
Talk about the cowbells?
Yes, just
Yeah.
it's loud, it's annoying.
I'll tell the story one more time. But first, I want to start about the blackout.
Yes.
So, the amount of old Ags freaking out about wearing black is hilarious.
It is.
The players like it. Okay, the players want to do it. The players are wearing all black, so it kind of works. Adidas rolled this out for us, right? So a special uniform, head to toe, literally. And then, the warehouse and Aguilan Outfitters and, everybody's got on board. They've got, they got lines of the blackout stuff. I sent my daughter, I Zelled her some money last night and I sent her three links. I was like, here's a sweatshirt, here's a t-shirt, and here's your black 12 man towel. Like, just go buy them there on me because I think it'll be cool.
I love the fact that it's a wrecking crew towel.
It is.
That's
Yeah.
cool.
Yeah.
I like that.
That's big time. So, but my thought is, I love it. All right. I love it when it's one-off or it's fun. I think it's great for LSU, for the LSU game. I think it's perfect. Look, if you're not gonna get on board with it, that's fine. But like again, my old man yelling at clouds, let the kids have some fun. I have no problem with it as a one-off. My buddy DJ texted me because I'm not sure if they'll kill me on tech shags, but well, and I translated over because the whites are Dickies. Dickie sells black shirts and pants.
They do.
Can you imagine the Yell Leaders rolling out in like black top and bottom?
That'd be kind of interesting, wouldn't it?
There would literally be old acts dying in the stands
Oh,
if they saw that.
they would lose their mind. Like, I would have loved to seen this in maroon
I'm
before
leaving.
we
I'm not
did
even staying
that.
for this game. You,
Right.
I'm not giving. I'm not even. I'm done. I'm not buying more season tickets. You first shit to me.
Literal comments on tech sags after Elko encouraged the students to wear everything, right? Because he said, well, hey, team captain said to do it, so y'all need to do it. That's what
Yeah.
Elko said. And then that gets posted to tech sags. One of the first comments under that was, all right, I'm going to eBay to sell my ring. I'm like, then get out at this point.
Well, there was a post on Tech Sags. It was satirical, though. I will say that
yes.
it took three pages before the board guys figured out that was a satire.
They were having, yeah.
But I'm all in on it. Apparently, the university isn't fully endorsing it as a blackout, which I don't even care. Like, it's all over social media. Everybody knows it. Just
Everybody
wear
knows.
black, man. Just wear black. Have fun with it. I honestly just have a ton of fun with this. The players are, and that's who we're there to support, anyways, right? I'm
I
not
have.
there. I don't go to a game or watch a game to be like, go athletic director. Like that's not how that works.
We're here for the players. Yeah, we want the
No,
players. So
and
we go out there and
if
win.
they want it and they're pushing it because they're pushing it, like there's a concerted push.
Yes.
Let's go. Let's go all out. Because I can guarantee you the east side of Kyle will be 99.9% blacked out.
I would say,
Guarantee you.
yeah, I was about to say, student section is going to be completely black, and you'll have the block of the core who's going to be still rocking core, and that's completely understandable. The rest of the student section is going to be black. I'm
If
going
you
to
put
est
them, if you put them in midnights, it'll be close to black.
it'll be close to black. Now, if you go around the outs, everywhere else in the stadium, I'm going to say it's probably going to be a pretty even split. I think you'll see a lot of people that'll wear black, but there'll be plenty of people that just don't have something A&M related and they want to do something A&M related and wear maroon.
Well, I will say though, a night game, the difference between black and maroon will be negligible on TV.
Correct. It'll look really good.
It'll be dark enough.
It'll be dark enough for the TV. Absolutely. So, yeah, I'm excited for it. I think that's going to be a lot of fun. One more question I did have. Jive Coach G, do you sit on or next to the Jets in a jacuzzi? The people want to know.
On or next to the Jets in a jacuzzi. I will say this. I've had a bad back for a really, really, really long time. So I'll rotate because if you sit with the jet directly on your back for too long, it starts to feel weird, right? It's like the
Right.
Chinese water torture at 170 PSI. But yeah, I'll generally work the jet on my back just because I'm old. So yeah.
So I feel that. I mean, I like having the jet on the back too. I mean, that was honestly my favorite little pastime throughout the entirety of this trip we went on just the other week was getting up in there to the solarium and sitting around in a hot tub. That was always nice. I like it's being right there on a jet, so nothing wrong with that. And then
Well, and when I
obviously,
was a little kid, like jacuzzi or pool, you put your goggles on and you like get as close to the jet with your eyes as possible,
that
right? You remember doing that?
happened a couple of times. That did.
Yeah. Yeah,
So get
that
on
was the
the.
thing. Maybe I'm a weirdo, but maybe I'm the only one that did it, but
Yeah. Okay. So now I have a question for you.
oh
So,
boy.
all right. And like I said, it wasn't gonna be anything crazy. We are obviously having an alternate uniform this week. Looking back at our history, what is your favorite alternate uniform that A&M has worn? And it
Oh
can,
boy,
and
that is a real,
yeah,
that's tough.
it is.
Best helmets were the 39 throwbacks.
Loved them.
I don't even think that's moderately debatable. My sentimental favorite, because of how old I am, were the ones we wore against Kentucky, the 90s,
98.
that they kind of built in the old jersey look. But I think the white ones, Mississippi State, because they were what, like 56, 56
Oh,
throwbacks?
South Carolina,
Or South
16.
Carolina, I'm
Yeah.
sorry. Those were just
Junction Boys.
so clean. Yeah, the Junction Boys throwback as an entire uniform, that's the one for me. As a helmet, it's not even close, the 39s. But sentimentally, like the massive block ATM and the jersey looking, jersey with the bigger numbers. And I remember that
The
was Trey
mesh
Williams.
holds.
That was a Trey Williams one that scored the touchdown in that game. Like
Yeah.
the winning touchdown. So yeah,
It was
but as a whole uniform, as far as just looking super clean, I've got to go with the Junction Boy throwbacks.
the Junction Boy throwbacks were really nice. I was a big fan.
Yeah.
I was on, and I was a big fan of the 39s, especially with the helmets, right? I mean, the helmets were such a cool idea.
Oh, so and so well done. Did you see Illinois wear them this past weekend?
I went and watched highlights after we got back into town. Like I went and just sat down and watched a bunch of highlights. That was a
Man.
good choice. And that looked nice on the field too.
It did.
It was cool. As far as I would say probably my personal favorite, and I say it's a classic, but to throw it all the way back, the very first throwback that we did, which or the very first alternate we ever did, which was black 2012 against Mississippi State. Right before we played Alabama.
Oh, if we're
So,
talking, yeah, alternates, yeah, then
yes,
that always
that's why I
jump
said
out.
alternates.
Well, yeah, I was thinking throwbacks for some reason.
No, all, yeah, any of the alternates.
For
Which,
the
I mean, don't get
black,
me wrong, like, I will give you 56,
yeah.
outstanding. That's just a great uniform on its own, even with it being an alternate uniform. I'll call it a throwback. It's a fantastic
Yeah.
uniform. I love that.
So the 39 helmet is first. The number two helmet for me is, despite the rest of the garbage, was when we did the all white Mississippi State, that white to silver
Right.
fade.
Yeah.
That helmet was just absolutely filthy.
The
But
chrome
so like,
fade.
yeah, you do like maybe the 39 helmet, the 90s throwback jersey with, the Junction Boys fans. Yeah, that's where I'm at. I'm not a huge fan of the blacks. I will give you, since even though you didn't ask, worst alternates we've ever had. And if you get this wrong, I'm gonna be very upset with you. What were
Oh,
the
no.
worst alternates?
Oh, my absolute worst ones by far were the Aggie
Hold on, hold
Knights.
on, hold on, hold on. Hold on. I'm gonna write this down
Okay.
and see if we get the same answer. We're gonna play like the dating game real quick. Hold on.
Because I'd be curious to know what yours was too. Because I mean, yeah, easily I have my worst in my head for sure. Because, and I'll even pull up a
No.
picture.
And it can't be the white ones at Mississippi State.
No.
We've already discussed how, like, the iron-on foils, what it looked like. All
Yeah,
right.
that one's my number two
Yeah. Oh,
for
yeah. No,
worst.
that's, yeah.
That's my number two for
All right.
worst.
So what's your worst? I wrote it down.
All right, so my absolute worst was Aggie Knights. So when we played against Mississippi State at home in 2017, Sumlin's last year, we had the maroon that faded to black, and then we had the maroon top, maroon pants, but the cheetah print pattern was all black, and it was a terrible uniform and a terrible football game. We got absolutely manhandled in it.
We did not have the same answer.
I can't see yours.
The smoky grays we wore in Baton Rouge and got
Okay.
pounded in.
You
I
weren't
thought those
as.
grays were an abomination to jerseys everywhere. Those were terrible.
They were not great. I like the helmets. The
Yeah,
helmets were all right.
but yeah, everything from the neck down was garbage. God, those were terrible.
Let's see. Let's see. 20. This would have been 2017. Is yeah, so we lost at home in that game 35-17. And we were wearing
I
these
remember the
mon
ones you're talking about.
yeah, we were wearing these monstrosities. It's not one to pull up
Yeah,
pretty,
rubber
but
ones.
those guys there.
Those weren't awful.
I didn't like them, dude. Well, you look at
No,
the front of
I
that
didn't
jersey.
like them, but as far as ranking the worst, those
Ugh.
grays at LSU were an abomination. I'm telling you, like those, and on top of it, remember, we hate the uniforms we lose in too, right?
That doesn't
So
help. Yeah.
yeah, but this is how I look at it. Had we won the game what would I think of the uniforms?
Right.
And that's where that one you're talking about, like, I was okay with it. It wasn't terrible. Like, the gray was awful, and those whites at Mississippi State were just, outside of the helmet, were just god awful.
It is kind of funny that, like, our best uniforms are the ones that we've won in a lot of cases. You know, the all black in 2012, the South Carolina when we did Junction Boys, 39 throwback was a win, 98 throwback was a win. You know, all those alternates have done well.
Remember, we are fans, so
we're fans. Except we're out here having fun. But that was, yeah, like I said, it's kind of alternate. You know, alternate uniform season in that sense. I'm excited for it. On that same token, I have decided to get back into the uniform tracker game. So for anybody who's been paying attention, I went ahead and decided to do a baseball. I've been doing baseball for a long time for the tracker. Well, now I've decided to do a football, and eventually I want to get into basketball too. But I think that would be great to have all that set up as like a whole deal. But we're kicking it off with football. It's rolling. I have a thread on TexAgs for it. And if you follow along with Aggie Unis, I've got that going as well. So really, really enjoying the reception from that early. That's been nice to see. And I'm excited to continually build up on that. So that's nice. Been fun. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you all, everybody, for the questions this week. It's always fun to engage with y'all.
Absolutely.
Keep sending them in, man. You don't have to wait for us to ask. You can always send in questions. Sports or A&M related or apparently jacuzzi related. So there's that. but yeah, man, we'll,
what you got going this week?
Man, just work after 2 weeks of two days of sitting in a class. I'm going to be running around with my hair on fire, trying to catch back up this week, but, yeah, just doing real estate stuff. Got a closing, got another one under contract, just doing my job, moving property, man.
Good. I am currently getting ready to go on the road to Stillwater this week. We're heading up there to the Tumbleweed. Yep, end up to the Tumbleweed with our buddy Randy Hoyt.
You know, I never made it to Stillwater, but I always feel like that's just, it's a fun college town. It's what it always felt like. Because you guys have played up there before, right?
Several times. And Tumbleweed's always been really good to us. So if you're up there in Stillwater area, if you got friends up there, and you're looking for something fun to do on a Friday night, I know Oklahoma State's out of town this week. So probably be a little bit lighter crowd, but we're excited to be there. We're looking forward to a great weekend on that front. The best part is we're only playing that one show. Then we're hauling south back our direction because Carson has to go play a wedding over in Dripping Springs. So we're going to be rolling into Waco to everybody redistribute into their cars and go where they need to go by noon, which means I can go to the game.
Nice.
And I'm excited.
We didn't talk about this. I do want to bring it up. The Butt Bowl was last weekend. Baylor and Texas Tech.
It was.
In Lubbock, so it's the Butt Bowl, right?
Butt Bowl.
You see what the Bears did to the Red Raiders?
Yeah, and I found out why. I went back and I was actually chatting with a guy. It's really funny you brought this up. There was a guy at the Cigar Lounge that came up to me, and he's a Texas Tech guy. And he was up at the game and was explaining to me. He was like, yeah, I mean, we were just playing zone the whole day and they were just burning us. Like, I don't know why. We weren't playing, man. We weren't up on top of these guys. They were just burning us consistently in the passing game. And I was like, well, that's a butt bowl for you.
Yeah, that reminds me of, was it my freshman year when we played RG3? Like, could you stop giving up 70-yard touchdown passes?
Yeah.
You know what? We never covered the cowbells, and then we'll get out of here.
Yes.
Yeah, so I'll say it again. The Cowbells, if they're winning the game, they are bad. They are loud. They closed in, went into the stadium. Like, they do get legitimately loud. I'm not kidding. Like, it is loud, loud. I would assume that as a Mississippi State fan, it's like if you go to enough games, it's kind of like white noise, so it doesn't bug you.
Sure.
But if you can shut them down, it's amazing how quickly the Cowbells go away.
And how quiet the stadium actually gets.
Because they can't make noise outside of the cowbells. They've never had to. They're not used to it, so they don't really know how to do it. But it is miserable. I went. I was hungover. It was one of the worst football games I've ever had to attend in my life. We got smoked. I wanted to die. And there was not enough Gatorade and Aleve that side of the Mississippi for me to make it through that game without it. I mean, granted, look, this is self-inflicted. I get it. But still, sure. The football, I didn't inflict how poorly we played.
Right. But it just was additional factors, and that's what happened to me in 16, right? Very first play from scrimmage in 16, they run the kickoff back for a touchdown. That sets a bad precedent for the rest of that game. It was loud the entire time because guess what? They set the tone. Gotta love
Yeah,
that.
it almost feels like they actually get louder. Like, because at the first of the game, you're like, this is as loud as it's gonna get. When they start beating your ass, hey, I swear, everybody shows up with two of them and they just start going, double fisting cowbells.
Have fun with it, but
But yeah, it's not great, Bob.
it's
If
not great.
literally, if you go, not kidding, bring some foam shooting earplugs.
Yeah, go. Remember that next time we're going to Starkville. Be sure to follow us on our socials, of course. That's Roy May 15 and Rob Slapper. We have been having so much fun. I know Twitter's been a lot of fun this week. I know we've been having a lot of back and forth, but it's exciting to be, an Aggie fan right now because there's a lot of good things on the horizon, and we're excited to be involved with it. I know Roy is.
It's gonna be a long, fun year, man. We got a lot to talk about this year.
And it's been a lot of fun to be able to do this on this podcast with you guys and having your interaction and even getting messages from people. If
Like,
they're,
share, subscribe,
yes, like, share, and
comment.
subscribe. Yeah, please comment. I mean, by all means, we would love to hear what y'all have to say.
Yeah,
And
comment
if,
on YouTube. It helps.
yeah, comment on YouTube. There is one additional plug I'll make. So I was just recently featured on a podcast with Western Grunge Tape Deck. They're on all the different streaming platforms. It's a bunch of Texas country and red dirt guys from kind of Midwest up where, like, a couple of guys like Kansas, Oklahoma, and Texas. And those guys had a great conversation with me. I enjoyed getting to talk about my time playing music, and we talked a little college football too on that particular podcast. So, if you want to go check that out, please do so. That would be awesome.
And we might have a fun announcement coming up for a little bit later in the season.
Yes, we should have another fun announcement coming up involving another buddy of ours. So, looking forward to talking about that. But I am Rob White. This is Roy May. We are the Red Ass Podcast. Take care. Beat the ever living hell out of LSU.